reading from 1 Samuel chapter 2, about 12 verses. The Bible says, and this is a verse of scripture called Hannah's Song, similar to Mary's song. Do me a favor and turn that light switch on right behind you. There you go. Thank you. 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting at verse 1, Bible says, then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Does your heart rejoice in the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Her heart is rejoicing because God has indeed blessed her sacrifice, blessed her surrender. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food. Those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and he has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that a new year lies before us. And some of us move into that year with great expectation and anticipation. Some of us move anticipating your blessing, your guidance, your direction, your provision. Some of us look back at 2014 and think 2015 has to be better. I don't know if I can do another year like last year. Lord, we look forward. I trust with anticipation and hope. I pray that in the midst of hopelessness and barrenness, Lord, that you bring hope and blessing today. You would bring understanding and wisdom that we could follow your guide and your direction. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Well, my wife has indeed been gone 11 days. 11 days. That's a long time. My daughter and I spent the first half of the trip alone in our house. And my son and I, the last half. And amazingly, the place looks much rougher on the second half than it did on the front half. She came back on Friday, and I mentioned to my son, we have got to make some changes around here. It was challenging just to behold. Big question is, do you start on the easy stuff or do you start on the worst stuff? We all got, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you can start on the bad thing and never get through anything else. You start on the easy stuff and work your way up. But if you're going to get through, you got to start on something. Can I get a witness on that? Now, we are on a series called Guided by God. And last week, we took a look at Hannah. And Hannah found great victory in the Lord. We just read her song. We read this poem, this prayer that she made before the Lord. And she is basically saying, Lord, you have blessed me. You have hooked me up. I was miserable and I am miserable no more. We are looking at Hannah. She was Samuel's mom. She, I guess, still is Samuel's mom. She gave birth to Samuel, but she was a barren woman. She had misery in her life. As we ended last time, I showed you this picture, and if you grab some notes today, you have this picture on your notes. And Hannah's major problem was that she was barren. She had no children. And in that culture, if you had no children, specifically if you did not have a son, you were pretty much worthless. You know, it's kind of like when your parents are saying, looking forward to grandchildren, you're not even in a relationship. You're like, give me a break, you know. I got some worth here. But she had this massive issue with her self-image because everything around her told her she wasn't worth anything. That message still goes out. There's lots of ways to get that message. You might come in here and you got a problem with your self-view, with your self-image today. Now, Hannah's other big issue, and I don't know if you were here last week or not, was Peninnah. And this was the picture that I used. Peninnah in Hebrew means ruby. And ruby was bringing a lot of pain to Hannah because Hannah's husband's name was Elkanah. God creates. His name means. Hannah means grace, and Peninnah means ruby. And ruby doesn't really fit the picture. And ruby was a baby machine. She had, off the top of my head, I think 7 kids. She had many sons and daughters. And she would provoke Hannah. She would pester Hannah. She would mock Hannah. And so if you take a look at Hannah, this is a picture of Hannah, that she had problems in this relationship with herself because she had no kid, and she had this problem with the others that were around her, her husband's second wife, Ruby, who was trying to get rid of her so she could have her husband all to herself. And realistically, Hannah was not doing too good. Hannah was miserable. And that misery is exacerbated, is made worse by the fact that her relationship with the Lord was incredibly weak. Church was weak. It was hard to establish a relationship with the Lord. And we saw last week that she got so bad off in her life that she kneels before the Lord at feast time when Ruby is just putting the screws to her. And she says, Lord, if you would just give me a son, I'll give him back to you. I will dedicate him to you. He will serve you all the days of his life. And the Lord gives her a son. And she gives him back to the Lord. And in that act, that relationship, that vertical relationship with the Lord is strengthened. And because of that strengthening, the blessing that she received, she has a son, and her self-image is now not dragging through the dirt. Are you tracking with me? Now, last week, we ended our time, and I asked you, and some of you were not here, I asked you to circle or to identify. Of those 4 relationships, you got relationship with the Lord, your relationship with yourself, your image of yourself, your relationship with the people around you. And some of you, your greatest challenge in life is somebody you got in your life. He's just dragging you down. And then that rest of creation can be job, can be education, can be house, lack of house, apartment. You might have I don't know, the worst gang in San Diego living all around you in your apartment complex. That can be an issue. Amen? Amen? And so as you take a look at where you're at, what did your life show you in 2014, I would like to have you, hopefully you have a pen or something to write with, and just write on which one of those relationships is best. Which is the best, what is the best thing that you have going on in your life that your life revealed to you in 2014? Because you might be cratering in your whole life. But you're least cratering in one area. You might be doing great in your whole life, but you're best in one area. I want you to write best. Just like right up here, if your relationship with, you got a brand new job and you're making, like Tommy, $200 a day, making that tithe, I just write right here, just put best. Just write best right there. You just can't really write good? Write a B right there. It's okay. I don't, you don't have to break your wrist or nothing. Okay, you got that? Are you tracking with me? Which is best? Now, which is worst? Best, worst. BW. You don't have to show this to anybody. I'm not going to collect them. This is just so that you can know. If you don't have a pen, if you're looking at me saying, I am not writing that down and you can't make me. Okay, in your mind, best and worst. Got it? That's two. Got it?
Got it.
Ah, nice. Okay, now, the other two. I want you to write good and bad. Good and bad. See, I want you thinking about Joe and I cleaning our house. And we are, you missed that part, I know. You missed it all, so you got home after it was clean. But we prioritized from the worst to the best, and then we started cleaning. And what you do when you grab this diagram and you put best, worst, bad, and good, you can put forth a roadmap for change in 2015. Amen?
Amen.
Because unless all these things are stellar, and if they are, they can all get better, we need to be guided by God in 2015 so things can get better. Sorry, that's Benia. Oh, let me go back to this other thing. There we go. Guided by God. 2015, time for change. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you at least know what needs to happen, you got a pathway to get into. You know, I prayed with some folks and said, it's time for transition today. I'm like, woohoo, you're preaching my sermon. I mean, I got two testimonies. I'm looking at them. I'm serious. After prayer, I'm sitting down on my notes. I'm going, how could I work these testimonies into these things? But they're both pretty great testimonies, and we're going to be looking at some negative stuff today. We're going to be looking at Eli's sons. Eli's sons are not good. And God's going to make a change because things are not good. So, just letting you know. We're going to look a little bit at Hannah, some blessings there, but we're going to be looking at some bad situations. We're going to be looking at a time for change. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's take a look. Celebrating the acts of God. And that is Hannah. Hannah is going, oh yeah, God has done me good. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. Now the Eli part, the Eli sons part, that's going down to the grave. The Hannah part is bringing up out. And we like a Lord that is on the job. Amen? We like a the Lord to come and to be working for us. I love that thing that Tommy said, give the Lord the tithe and he'll bless the rest. Amen? He'll curse it all or bless the rest. You know, you don't want to live on a curse. And we'll take a look at that today. He raises the poor from the dust and he lifts the needy from ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. Hannah's had a son. God has filled the gap in Hannah's life. God has stepped into the turmoil of her life, and he has made a change. He has made a transition, and I celebrate. Just Michelle, I've just got to pump you up. Michelle got a brand new job on Friday, right? And she told me today that she's getting set up to move into a three-bedroom house next month. That's raising up from the dust. Can I get a witness on that? So I just couldn't hold it back. I just was like gushing out. Praise the Lord. Celebrate God's goodness. Amen? God's not done with Hannah. God's not done with Michelle. God's not done around here. God is on the job. There is more in store than this. Amen? This text speaks of that. This text speaks of a God who makes things right. And that's what we want, is a God who comes and makes things right. I want a God who comes and makes things right for me. And I want to remind you that he made things right for Hannah because she was utterly and totally surrendered to him. Until that point, until she started working on that vertical relationship with him, all the rest of her relationships were dragging her down, and God was watching. And I don't know what 2014 was like for you. I don't know if you put the relationship with the Lord on the front burner and are now seeing the Lord working in some of those other things in your life. But if you didn't, you probably are feeling that right now and going, oh, I want to be like Hannah. Amen? Amen. Hannah got blessed. We want a God who makes things right. But we often want God to make things right without a surrender. Amen? Just kind of sit on the edge, just kind of waiting for something to spill over on you, rather than just getting underneath the blessings of the Lord. Let's continue on. This is where it gets rough. Eli's son, one verse right there. Eli's sons were wicked men. I would not want to make the Bible like that. I'd rather just be left out. Can I get a witness on that? Eli's son's kind of on blast there. You know what I'm saying? Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. And this is a problem. This is a problem because, one, Eli is the high priest. He is the high priest of God for 40 years. Eli's sons are priests. How many people know it's a problem when the priests are wicked? How many know it's a problem when God's priests have no regard for God? There's places around here like that. You can find it. Eli was the high priest. Word here for wicked men, and you got to make a stretch here. I don't know if anybody's got a King James Bible on them. But in the King James, it says Eli's sons were the sons of Belial. Now, the NIV just kind of says, oh, they were wicked men, because that's what sons of Belial means. But realistically, it says in the Hebrew, Eli's sons were the sons of the devil. Oh, we got a problem here when the sons of the devil are in the church. When they're the priests, amen? Says that that what they would do, and it goes in there in this next several verses, you can read about that, that they would go at the offering time, the sacrifice time, and they would take forks, big old forks, and people would be cooking their food, and they'd take this big old fork and go, priest share, and they'd have their servants doing this, and they'd probably like a big old bucket for the meat or something, and they would stick this fork in there and twist it around, and whatever they took out, they would take and eat. That was the custom. But that's not the way it lined out in the Bible. The way it lined out in the Bible is that the priest got the thigh. The priest got designated parts of the animal, and they wanted more. See, what you would do is you would bring your sacrifice, and there was a portion that was just burned up, and it would make a pleasant aroma to the Lord, and the priest would get their share, and you would get yours back, and you would go have a feast. Kind of like Thanksgiving, right? And your family would be there, and everybody would go to prayer and go to the sacrifice, and they'd give you back a big old bunch of your cow or your lamb or your goat or whatever you bought, brought for the sacrifice, and you would cook it up, and you would have a feast. But in the middle of your feast, the priest would come along and say, oh, no, 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 we want a little bit more. Boom. And I'd say, well, I guess that's everybody else is doing it. I guess that's okay. And then they decided that wasn't good enough either. And so before the sacrifice was made, they would want the portion of the sacrifice that was for God. And, say, wait, and the people would say, wait, you can rip me off, but don't rip off the Lord. This is my sacrifice. I need to make my sacrifice to the Lord so that he can bless me. And you're going to jump in the middle of it and you're going to take this so that you can eat it instead of giving it to God? No. Just let it be burned up. And they said, you don't let us take it, we'll strong arm you. I got these big guys over here. Oh, yeah, we're getting our food. So they were ripping them off out of the pot, and they were ripping them off right at the altar. It says that they had no regard for God. And that word for no regard, translated by the NIV, which is a good translation, is yada. Never heard yada, yada, yada? That's where it comes from, right here. The Hebrew word means to know. Says in Hebrew, Eli's sons were the sons of the devil and did not know God. You think we got a problem? I was talking to Pastor Scott about this last night after prayer. You can think about this situation, and you can easily be repulsed by Eli. What is this guy doing? He is the high priest. But you know what? You read on, Eli does pretty good with Samuel. You know, I think, well, you know, here's Eli and his sons, these wicked guys, and they are got some serious issues. And here comes Samuel coming into the house of God, maybe 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old. He did not raise himself. His mama left there and would visit him once a year. Samuel, can I get a witness? Samuel did not raise himself. Anybody got a four-year-old at home? They ain't raising themselves, amen? And so I am reading this. And I think Eli was trying his best, which might not have been very good. But his sons are snatched away by the devil. The devil comes right in to the temple of God and steals Eli's sons. And as he weakens that relationship between them and God, he squeezes the knowledge of God right out of them. Jesus talks about it, Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes, the devil comes, and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is from the parable of the seeds, but it talks about here how active the enemy of our souls is. But I'll tell you what, he himself might not be here today, but I would imagine he's got a representative. And that representative will follow you home and look how he can snatch your child away. They were sons of the devil. I looked online today. I checked the headlines. It says huge crowds, hundreds of thousands. Will they demonstrate against the people who killed, the terrorists who killed the 17 in Paris this week. Did you hear about that? Talked about with the youth on Wednesday night that these terrorists went into these satirists, these cartoonists' offices, and went and just killed them. 12 people shot them up because they were drawing pictures of Muhammad or whoever. I don't know, didn't take a look at any of their cartoons. And it is so easy. It is so easy to get so angry at ISIS and at Al-Qaeda and all these terrorist organizations. But I'm reminded that it is the devil that would come in and snatch the truth of God from these people's lives. That they are sons of the devil because of his action and because of what is propagated by their teachers and their culture and all that thing. And you see, the devil has got by the throat a whole culture of people that have lost the knowledge of God, and that this killing is the act of the devil using these terrorists as pieces to attack the plan of God. Now, we need to stand up against terrorists? Oh, yeah. But the terrorist is in this room today. And he'll go home with you today. And we must be on guard and protect our loved ones from his activity. Amen? Change is on the way. Back to Samuel. All right. But Samuel's ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother. How many of you ladies got sons? Hands up. You dress them up all nice. You know, get to come to like Easter, Christmas, get that hair cut. Looking all good. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." Talking about Samuel. Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons. And 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. And I want to let you know that God's got more than one blessing. Amen? God's blessings continue, and they continue in Hannah's life. She gave birth to her son Samuel. She gave her son away, and she maintained connection with her son, bringing him these little robes, and maintained connection with Eli. And Eli continued to pray for her. Not a bad prayer by the high priest, amen? But the Lord would just continue to bless you. And she has 3 sons and 2 daughters. And it would be so easy. It would be so easy to have the son Samuel and work all year on a ephod for him. Do it one time, say, "I got blessed, I'm done, this is as good as it gets." There's a lot of people who will get a blessing from the Lord and just move on and move away from God, figuring, "I got all he has to give." And had Hannah moved beyond the connection with her son, her connection with the Lord, and her connection with Eli, she would have missed out on the continued blessings of 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because we have got some people who get a little bit of a blessing from the Lord and figure that's good enough for me, and they live on stale blessings. Or they live on old blessings because they figure it's one and done. But as I read about Hannah, the blessings continue, and as you get this right relationship with God, he continues to flow into the other relationships of your life. Can I get a witness on that? I got another question for you. What happened to Ruby? Because when we read in chapter 1, every time they come to the feast time, Ruby, Peninnah, is pestering Hannah until she's weeping and crying. Now we read about how Eli blesses Elkanah and his wife, Hannah. Where's Ruby? And I'm letting you know, folks, You got some drama in your life? You can leave it in the past. You can confess, you can repent, and you can forgive. And you can move beyond that thing which is your greatest torment today. Now, Hannah could have kept Ruby around just to kick around, just to do the floors, just to do the dishes. And she could have turned into Ruby, to Ruby. She could have put the screws to Ruby and said, oh, no, you're not getting off that easy. How many of you hold on to old sin because you say, I'm not going to let you off that easy? And you drag your sin around with you. And you know what? Let me just tell you that that old sin just starts to stink a little bit. And as you're dragging it around, that smell just comes right up on you. You can tell. Got that stink. Where's that stink? Told JJ last night. JJ, man, you got to take a shower, buddy. Come on. He goes, I just took a shower for a prayer. Whoa, okay. Oh, my, too much information, my wife says. You know what? You got some stink on you? Come on, Monday night. You can get clean. Take a little while. Take a little scrubbing. But you know what? You don't want to scrub? You're going to start with the worst. You're going to start with the easiest. You're going to make a change in 2015. You have to start somewhere. CR is a good place to start. Amen? All right. Back to the tough stuff. All right, here we go. Now Eli, who was very old, been leading Israel for 40 years, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel, and, everybody say and. And how they slept with the women who served at the entrance of the tent of meeting. My wife frowns upon that around here, by the way. Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't want to be hearing about that. I frown on it, too. Thank you for that, hon. Got a witness from the First Lady. So I said to them, why do you do such things? I hear about from all the people. How many of you love hearing about the bad stuff your kids are doing from all the people around? Nobody loves that. I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God may mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for, you got your Bible, you can just circle that, for, it was the Lord's will to put them to death. You say, wait a minute, a kind and merciful and loving God would not put Eli's sons to death. Jehovah does. See, we sing about that thing. We love God's justice. That's a scary component of God's nature. Amen? Opportunities to make things right. Eli's hitting this a little late. It's not a good report that I hear. And it's too late. They have crossed the line. Some of you, I know your past, crossed the line. I started doing drugs at about 14. Remember, my parents caught me. They flushed the weed and they gave me back my pipe. I never understood why they gave me back my pipe. You know, they didn't do me very well because I used drugs until I was 29 years old. I don't know what's going on in your home. But see, Eli was the great high priest. He was priest over God's house. He was also priest over his house. And he was not being a minister. Look at these ladies. Look at that. Go running, running. That's one of our kids screaming. You know, Eli could have been doing a little bit of running when he realized that his sons were making light of the offerings to the Lord. When he came to understand, they didn't even know God. And they're still ministering as priests. Things are going from bad to worse. Taking advantage of the offerings and now taking advantage of the women. And Eli has a responsibility to make things right. Responsibility to make things right in his house and a responsibility to make things right in God's house. And he's just not getting it done. And we read here, it's too late. Hophni and Phinehas are the sons' names, have crossed the line. The Lord is hardening them in their sin, hardening them in their sin, because he's going to put them to death. And the devil has won. The devil has won Phinehas and Hophni. They have crossed the line. They will be killed by the Lord. Don't let the devil win in your home. They lost their primary relationship with God, and all their other relationships were warped. You got a little 4-year-old at home? I'll tell you what. Spank them. Don't spank them in anger, but don't let them think that there are no boundaries in his life. You got a 14-year-old at home? Take away their Xbox. You know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you what. You put some boundaries on those kids. I was going to talk about my upbringing, but heard the news yesterday. Listening to, there was a championship college game on in the morning, and I was listening to it as I was driving around and doing some stuff, and one of Joe and Josh's teammates is a starting receiver for Oregon, playing in the national championship game on Monday night. And the news guy on the sports station comes on at halftime, says, Oregon State's number 2 receiver, and my ear perks up. And I wasn't going to use his name, but his name is on national radio and TV on ESPN, Darren Carrington, will not be playing on Monday night. I'm like, wow, one, he's made national news. 2, he's not playing because of a suspension. And I'm like, oh, great. Continues on, because of a drug test. And the drug that he failed the test on was marijuana. I remember Joe and Josh's freshman year, the first parent meeting before the first season, and this student prayed. The coaches were not there yet. They were coming in. He went up. And he opened the meeting in prayer. I had no clue who he was, but he was praying with his hat on. Kind of cockeyed. You know what I'm talking about? And so I go up to him. I said, hey, nice prayer, but there's a lot of people who might be offended that you were praying because you had a hat on. He didn't even answer me. He just walked right on by with his little hat on cocked. And you know what? My estimation of that young man went from here to here. Challenging part is, his dad is a minister. We must minister in our homes. You cannot let the situations slide. Now, that boy easy, lost $1 million. Easy. He probably would have left Oregon as a junior. Probably first round draft pick. Maybe top five. I don't know. He'd get injured next year. But when you get suspended for drug use from the top game, NFL teams are going, man, that guy ain't going to handle life in the NFL. Now, probably most of your kids, my kid, are not going to have that choice to make. But the blunders that they make can be just as big. And Eli's sons blundered big. Amen? Time for change in 2015. You got to start somewhere. Start on the easiest, start on the worst. But do something. Amen? Are we okay? All right. Breaking ties with God. It's all downhill now, folks. But Samuel's ministering. Oh, that's a good one. Samuel's ministering before the Lord. Oh, my bad. I didn't change the page. I thought it was downhill. There we go. Now, the man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says." That is a scary time. Amen? Tommy, somebody comes up to you and says, "This is what the Lord says." Like, whoa. Yeah. Maybe just thinking, I'm expecting a blessing. I'm all sacrificed and I'm sold out for the Lord. "Did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod in my presence." Ephod is like this chest plate thing. Had stones in it to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. He was the representative before the Lord of all the tribes of Israel. "I also gave your father's house all the offerings made with fire by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people, Israel?" Downhill. Can I get a witness on that? Eli's putting his sons first. Eli is joining his sons in their sin. Doesn't say he was doing anything with the women. But if you read on, well, it has said that he is old, and if you read on, he is fat. Man of God says, "You've been fattening yourself on God's offerings." It's an easy thing to do, to prioritize, put your children before God. It's not a wise thing to do, but it is an easy thing. See this diagram again that we started off with. That relationship with God is on top for a reason. Now, if you slide self and put yourself up there instead of God and have God be down there on the bottom, all of your relationships will be skewed. If you take others, if you take the others in your life as your spouse, as your children, and put them up there and put God down below, you'll have a nice, strong relationship with your children, but all of your other relationships will be skewed, and it will end up skewing your relationship with your children in the same way that it has happened in Eli's life. That he let stuff slide when they stole the baseball from the neighbor's kids, and he let them keep it. They started smoking weed, and he flushed the weed and gave back the pipe. See, there's all kinds of little patterns. Probably didn't catch his kids smoking weed. I was making this tie between my life. I hope you guys got that, okay? Did you get that? Yeah, okay, good. Just want to make sure my wife would be coming up. I didn't hear that. What are you talking about? Weed. You got it? Okay, good. You put your family before God, it'll warp all your other relationships. God needs to be that primary relationship that you have in your life. If that is not best, on your diagram, you're headed downhill. If it's not best, we want to help you make it best. And it's not just because I want you to come to church. Oh, you just want people to come to church. Get the offerings. He's like Eli's son. He's taking the offerings. I don't count the offerings. I have opened the safe, I think, one time in 15 years. You can ask Ann. You can ask Gene. I don't touch the offerings. I don't count the offerings. I don't know what you give. If you put $10,000 in the offering today and come up smiling at me, I'm not going to know. You're going to get no credit with me. Some people have done it. I'm going, why are they smiling at me? I don't even know. So you better treat your kids better, though. What do you mean? I gave you $10,000. Back off. You put God's relationship right in your life. You put God at the top of your list. Just like with Hannah, all your other relationships will begin to line out. Now, not automatically. We want to help you with your relationship with God. And you know what? I don't want to freak anybody out. If you got a great relationship with God, you will be here. You're not here, you're going to be some other place with God's people. You want to tell me how great your relationship is with God and that you don't go to church? You're lying. You know what you got? You got a lie of the devil coming into your home saying, you don't need to go to that church to love God. You don't. But if you love God, you go to that church. Can I get a witness on that? Why? Because you might need to come and help. You might come and do some work, and there might be a person come today that only you can touch. And if you're home watching football, that person doesn't get touched, and they go home, and they get swallowed up by the devil. Amen? Yeah. Line up the top, and the rest will work it out. Now, the rest working out, getting a place, getting a GED, getting all kinds of stuff, we want to help you with all that. Because that can be pretty tough. Amen? Yeah. You want to make a change, you got to start with something. God's not top, start there. God's on top, let's work on some of the other stuff. Amen? All right. We okay? God will make a change. He's going to make a change in Eli's home. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and your father's house will administer before me forever. But, would you say but? But the Lord declares, far be it from me, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house. Don't you love that just pointed at you, Anthony? The time is coming when I'm going to cut forth what? And all your house. You're never going to have an old man. You think, but my dad was old. Because of that last one. Everybody else is going to die young. Why? I'm bringing judgment to your house. Don't want that pointed at you, right? I don't want that pointed at me. Line that thing up with the Lord. You'll be singing Hannah's song rather than Hophni and Phinehas' song. I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house so that there will not be an old man in your family line and you will see distress in my dwelling. Though good will be done to Israel, in your family line, there will never be an old man. You and your house no longer honor me. Word here for disdained is cursed, kalal. It says, it's interesting, those who honor me, word means glory. Also means weight. Weight, glory, honor, presence of God. Talks about weightiness. Sometimes you feel it in worship, amen? Where the presence of the Lord, you know, they say it falls, you know, and just feel that weight of God. And he says, you give me that weight, I'll put that weight on you. I will glorify you. Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up, amen? And he says, if you don't give me that weight, I'll make you light. And in the Hebrew, you can just feel it. I don't know that we feel that. I mean, Bible, I get that text under my... Those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be disdained. And Eli's sons were despising him. And he locked them in that sin. And you read in chapter 4 that they both died on one day fighting Philistines. I will cut short your strength. There will never be an old man. He says... 1 Samuel 2:35, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his house, and he will minister before my anointed one always. Those who honor me, I will honor. Those who glorify me, I will glorify. So where are you at, 2014? We talked about what's best and what's worst. If God is not best, it needs to be a priority in 2015. Make that relationship with God good. Make that relationship with God strong. How do you do that? Prayer. Be in the Word. Be here. Be here. You know enough. You say, man, Pastor Bob, man, I know his message before he even preaches it. Say, well, let me know about next week, okay? But teach. Teach. I'll tell you what, I learn a ton getting ready for today. Spent 3 days on this. That thing about Eli. And Eli failing in his home, not attempting to be wicked, but being made wicked by the activity of the devil. Those who honor me, I will honor. Hannah honored God. Kneeled down in the temple. Sam, you can come up and play something. Kneeled down in the temple and just was weeping and crying and fasting and said, God, oh God, oh God, give me a son and I'll give him back to you. Just let me know the fullness of life that I might have. And just give it to me for a little while. I give it right back to you, Lord. You see in Hannah this complete and utter surrender. And perhaps you look back at 2014 and you say, man, I feel all these relationships in my life are tore up. I don't even know what to do. Well, Hannah kneeled before God and says, oh God, I surrender everything to you. Give me life. Give me life and I'll give it right back to you. I was feeling like Hannah 25 years ago, walking on the street, said, Lord, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. And in an instant, I just felt the Holy Spirit come into my life. My relationship with myself was tore up. My relationship with others was tore up. My relationship with the rest of creation was tore up. But things were getting right with God. And over time, things started getting right with the rest of everything around me. Now I got a wonderful wife that I pine away for 11 days when she's gone. I only make it 4 days. I had to go up and see her in L.A. Got kids. Have you. Have the opportunity to be God's man in my home and in this house. See what's going on in Michelle's life. Prayers for some of you. Say, you know, we're in transition. We want 2015 to just be God's year. God's year working in us. You're going to go somewhere, you got to start somewhere. Start with the hardest thing in your life. Start with the easiest thing before you in your life. But start with something. and you'll get somewhere. Amen? Lord, we come before you. And Lord, as this graphic is up here, I pray by your Spirit that you just come into this room. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bring judgment and confirmation. That you would lift up and bring down. Lord, if there could be those here this morning that have a false sense of security, I just would ask that you would just shatter that right now. Just by your Spirit say, I am not number one in your life. That you have this above me and this above me and this above me and this above me. And Lord, I pray that you just confirm for your servants who have made that transformation, who are in process, that you just give that well done, well done. Long way to go, but well done. Good choice. Good choice, my child. I am with you. I am with you in 2015. My eyes are upon you. My ears are tuned to your prayer. I have plans for you. I have plans that are bigger than your plans, that are more sure, that are more firm. And as you grab on to me, your relationship with your children will begin to improve. Your relationship, your education will work on that. Your job, your car, these other things will begin to sort themselves out. And you will no longer see your soul, 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 no longer see your soul.